Oh shit. Oh shit. It's Monday. What's today's date, Lee? The 21st of January. Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? Obama's back like a motherfucker, and we're back. Oh, sure. Hey, kick it, Lee.
I don't need to introduce myself, but my name is Jimmy Lee. And I'm a surefire pure blood.
Oh, shit. Nucleus, 1984, dropping it. It's a bad fucking rhyme. Bad rhymes, Lee. Right here, listen to this shit.
When it comes to rocking, just leave me, see, cause of when I was a little baby boy.
My mother paid me a brand new toy.
Did they do something else? I feel like
Quickly.
I recognize
listen
it.
To this shit. He made up his fucking mind, cocksucker. That's what it starts with. The church of what's happening now. The flying Jew. Joey Coco Diaz. Nucleus, baby. Hit it. Oh, fuck. Oh, shit, Lee. Old school like a motherfucker. Martin Luther King's birthday. Get out there and march, cocksucker.
And Obama's getting inaugurated today.
That was yesterday, right?
No, it's today.
Today, too. Oh.
Martin Luther King Day and a black president's getting in.
Michelle Obama's looking good today like a motherfucker. Shaving that little monkey. I love it. I love Michelle
Obama. You think
Obama.
She shaved?
Half of it. It's not no fucking. It's not Soul Train, you know. Great to be back. The church of what's happening on Monday morning. Hope you guys had a great fucking weekend. Great weekend of sports. You had the UFC. Mm. You had fucking. You had New England. You had San Francisco. You know, when I spoke to Lee early, he's like, oh, this fucking Atlanta's winning. San Francisco. Like, well, everybody was excited. And then Ray Lewis. What the fuck was going on with him in the beginning? When he was just yelling at, oh, father, during the national anthem. He had heard my national anthem.
Yeah.
And he was like, fuck Joey Diaz. I'm going to go out there and cry. He had the war paint on like a fucking apocalypto.
I don't know, man. Like, I said this a while ago.
You that stoned or what?
Of course I'm stoned. All he made me smoke fucking at 6 in the morning.
All right.
Yeah, that I was always scared of Baltimore and then fucking Tom. I don't know. I'm pissed off, but it's all right.
Wait, nothing to be pissed off about. You didn't bet on the fucking game. You're just a fan. You put your shirt in your drawer, and you move on. That's it. You got the Celtics. What are you pissed off about?
Don't even bring
you're
up the Celtics.
You're 25 years old. You're a fucking savage. You got the fucking Alibaba and the 39 Thieves beard. You better shave that. You're looking more and more like a rabbi, but you're looking handsome these days.
I look like I'm 4 if I don't have it. I like it. I'm bored at work. I want to see how big I can get it.
You smoke some more of this shit or what?
Sure, why not?
Well, get over here, cocksucker. We're over here sparking like a... Like it's a fucking Martin Luther King rally in this motherfucker. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Everybody was a great man. He did great things. Because of him, he opened up 1,000 fucking doors. Friday of last week, I went crazy. Last Wednesday, I went a little crazy here with Lee during the Banana Bread and the National Anthem, and I retweeted. It's funny, because I got a story for that National Anthem and how that came about. Listen, guys, I tell you motherfuckers 800 stories, but I really have 10,000 of them. I can't tell you a lot of them because I can't tell you names or situations out of respect for the people they don't want, and that's the way it is. So I don't like telling you a story that I don't have a name to because it makes me look like a fucking 3-year-old. Like, you know that guy, whatever. No, I want to tell you the whole situation. But I bumped into him about a year ago, and he goes, hey, man, in your fucking shows, you better never tell the story about my family. And I swore I wouldn't. So, but let me tell you the story, right? For you fucking momos that don't know, 20, 30 years ago in this great country of ours, At 12:30 every night, the television shut down.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. See, you don't know how lucky you kids have it. Like, that's like the AT&T commercial where a little kid's telling the other little kids, you fucking don't know how lucky you had it. In my day, you had to wait a minute for a download and all this shit. You know? But it's the same thing applies here. It would shut down, you know, at 12:30, 12:35, 1 in the morning. Dun, 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 dun. And there was only 3 channels, 2, 4, and 7. Fox came later on. They were the Puerto Ricans in the fucking neighborhood. Well, that's what a lot of people don't know. So I knew these kids, and their father was an alcoholic.
Okay.
All right. These Irish kids I grew up with, and their father was an alcoholic. And one night I slept over there, and at about fucking 12:30, I'm hearing, get up. Get the fuck up. Get up. And it was 2 boys and a girl.
Yeah.
And I hung out with both the boys because they played basketball. And like the one, he hated the one fucking boy, but he liked the other guy. But he hated, and I still remember waking up going, what the fuck's going on? And he opened the door and he realized I was in there, and now he was quartering. He's like, "You too, get out there, salute the fucking flag." It was 12:30 at night, you know, and this is why the kids were always tired. It was their little secret. The father would wake them up every fucking night.
Night.
Make them get up and salute. "Get up, you little fucking maggots. Salute the flag, you dumb motherfuckers." And they'd have to walk downstairs and sit there, dun, 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 like 2 fucking minutes.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
That was the story. And I'd see him in the morning, and I'm like, "What, he had you saluting?" They're like, "Shut the fuck up." So that's the fucking story. But it's true, man. What I was yelling at that thing is, it's true. Enough with the fucking diseases, the man-made diseases, and enough with all this bullshit, things ain't working out for you. You're in fucking America. You ever think that you could have been born in Africa? You could have been one of those kids with the flies in their face?
Yeah.
But no, somebody cared enough for you, some fucking outside force to make you be born in Alabama or Ohio or fucking Rhode Island or somewhere that you could do something with your fucking life. That's all I meant with that little speech. So don't get your fucking skirts up. Me and Lee were stoned to the gills, and I just want to get my point across. You know what I'm saying? We do need fucking weapons. Not to shoot people, but to protect ourselves. I heard that if you go fucking to buy a gun now in California, the stores are fucking empty. People are buying guns like it's fucking a sale.
Really? Jesus.
Yeah.
And it keeps happening. There was another story, like a 15-year-old kid killed his whole family like last night or something. It keeps happening, man. It's scary shit.
I don't like the pills to kids. Remember the kid that we bumped into in Chance?
Yeah.
At the end of the night after we shot the documentary. Remember the
yeah.
He was not right. Right? You could tell that he was not right.
He was kind of drunk, it seemed like, yeah.
Right. But he was kind of fucking drunk. He's been drunk since he was 10.
Oh, okay.
He was the only kid I knew ever under the age of 18 that was legally prescribed medication. Like all those kids I hang out with and all that, he was the only one that when we were kids they gave him speed to slow him down, because he would jump off balconies and his own fucking roof and the whole thing. He was still fucked up, you know.
Yeah.
He had years or whatever. I don't believe it. You know, let me tell you why. I told my wife why I was in such edge for the last couple of months. You know, I was doing acid, and I'm ashamed of this, but I gotta tell the fucking story. From the age of fucking 14 to 16, 13 and a half to 16, I did acid at least twice a week.
Holy shit.
And it got to the point where from the age of 15 to like 16 maybe, I did acid. I sold mescaline. I had, you know how we smoke weed today?
Yeah.
I had access to mescaline and acid. So to sell it, you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
My tolerance to acid was huge when I was a kid. Huge. Most kids were doing a half a hit of mescaline. I could do two. I was a big kid, plus my tolerance, because I sold it.
Yeah.
So I would pop it fucking whenever. You know, it was like anything else. It's like coke, it's like weed, it's like anything. When you do a drug every day, you don't get as high as the first 2 days or 3 days.
Yeah,
when I go buy a 20 of weed, you know, that those first fucking 3 bong hits take me where I got to go. I know. And if I know the weed's that good, I'll go the next day buy it, but save it.
Okay, why?
Instead of smoking it every day, so it won't kill my tolerance.
Oh, okay.
So I just smoke it, you know, I'll smoke it a week from now. But I had the same thing going on with acid. So I know for a fact, when you're fucking growing as a man, and every day you're shocking your central nervous system, somewhere along the line, that's not going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the line, I'm going to start shaking, or I'm going to have dementia or something. And I didn't want to pass that on to my child. That's why I was so upset the last couple of months, because you never fucking know what I ate as a 15-year-old. I ate a lot of fucking drugs, Lee.
Yeah, and I can't believe I'm even asking, because we're not, neither of us will know, but can any of that stuff get passed on? I would think it would just affect you.
I mean, Lee, it was out of my body 30 years ago, but
uh-huh.
I gotta believe somewhere along the line, you know, during those years when your body is forming, when you're becoming a man, you know, it can't be good for you.
No,
this is
yeah.
just what I'm thinking. This is just an educated guess. It's just a hypothesis here.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a guy talking to another fucking guy that's somewhere along the line. And then, so you got to figure, okay, I didn't do nothing till 14. 14, I started with the THC, crystal, which is really angel dust.
Okay.
So I was doing that shit once a fucking week.
Jeez.
I was trying to call the kid, Carlos Perez. His wife hit me up the other night on Facebook. I was trying to call Carlos Perez so he could call the other day, but we haven't been able to get a call. That's the only guy I really keep in touch with that's still from the old neighborhood, like given that terrace where I'm from in North Bergen, where mm-hmm. you know my mom was still alive and shit. So you figure I did that for like 2 years.
Okay.
And I would do that on Sundays. But during the week, once I got into mescaline, I would fucking sell it. And I was doing it 3-4 times.
Now, you said mescaline and acid at the same time. Is it the same thing or no?
It's different. Mescaline okay. is a plant, and these guys would take it and put it in something, and you ate it. And then the acid, they either put on paper or on these little hits.
Okay.
You know, these little fucking things. We got more acid than we did mescaline, believe it or not. And I was up in East Stroudsburg. I got more acid. And it was crazy that in those formative years when your body's forming, all this shit's forming, I was popping fucking acid during the week. And on the weekends, I was doing THC. And then once 80 came, the 80s, you were doing blow. So you figure I did, you know. Listen, man, I did blow from 1980 to 2007. That's 27 fucking years. And you figure, I went hard.
Yeah.
You know, this wasn't no a half gram like that guy on that fucking commercial high. You know, I own Malibu, the rehab.
Oh, the treatment center.
I also partied for 10 years. Bitch, you better get in line. You're 17 behind flavor. And that's without the three I got counted for years of fucking mescaline and acid and ups. You know, for a while I used to take those speed pills. I never liked that shit at all. I used to sell those to wrestlers, these little things called Black Beauties.
Yeah.
So that's what the point was. The point was that, you know, in those years, I had to do some type of fucking damage. So I was telling my wife the other day, I go, you know, I look at this little girl, and I'm very fucking happy that she's really healthy at all levels.
Yeah.
I know a lot of children that are born fucked up, the parents, whatever, but I'm really fortunate. So that's what we're talking about. I don't even know how we got into the fucking conversation.
What you said was, is kids on those pills, and my senior year of high school, this kid with, he was on pills, but he had Asperger's, which is that disease that it seems like a lot of people who do the shootings now have. It's kind of a, I forget the word, but it's a mental disease, and it's mostly social and stuff like that. But in my senior year, a kid went into a bathroom and just stabbed a random kid, and he died. It was like 6 years ago. And that was the first I heard about Asperger's, and it seems like every one of these people that do the mass killings seem to have it, and they're on the pills, and they don't seem to be helping, and I don't know if it's the disease that does it or what does it, but they're obviously not doing the right stuff for the kids.
You know, Liam, a guy like me sits here fucking baffled. I sit here baffled, like I was telling Rogan, I sit here fucking baffled. Because when I was a child, I was exposed to weapons. And mm-hmm. I was exposed to fucking weapons in a crazy way. Now, okay, so maybe I fell in a special category. But, and then again, I went to a school named McKinley School. When I got thrown out of Sacred Heart for fucking choking the nun, I went to a school called McKinley School in North Bergen. It's across from New York Hotel, off of Route 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you something. There was no shootings, and we didn't have people. But those were, in hindsight, and I look you in the face and tell you, those are some of the most disturbed children I had ever been around. And let me tell you what made it worse. You know, in the 60s and 70s, a bunch of Cuban kids came. A bunch of Spanish kids came.
Okay.
Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Colombia. You know, I shouldn't just narrow it down to fucking Cuban. There's an assortment of specs in that fucking school. And I was one of them. You know, they didn't know the language. So in those days, we weren't as accelerated as we are now. You had SRA reading program, and you had four teachers, and they did the best that you can with 20 fucking students in a class. Now, never mind the fucking language barrier. So these kids got left back, not because they weren't intelligent, just because they didn't know the language.
Jesus.
And they kept holding these kids back. So these kids ended up being, you know, 14 in the seventh fucking grade.
Okay.
You know, and I remember Louis Zaldivar and the Ali brothers. The Ali brothers, one of the kids I hit in the fucking head with a rock. I talked him into, to tell him that it was a meteor from the fucking sky.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, Louis Zaldivar still on Facebook. Peter Jimenez. I still remember these kids were men in the seventh grade. Men. They were 15, 16.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be cute here. I mean, there's jokes that they used to drive to school and they used to walk with their kids, and they had mustaches. No, but they were fucking men. And these kids could beat the fuck out of anybody. I mean, these kids were tough. That's why they were put in the pilot program. They were frustrated, and they would smack kids around. But I had a kid, Charlie Gizzy, that I knew for a fact. I knew for a fact his brother and him killed a guy down in Five Corners on 43rd Street in North Bergen. Another kid on that block was Doug Jimenez, Cuban kid that was a rocker even back then. Didn't even speak Spanish. His parents couldn't control him. I knew for a fact that dude was a fucking killer. There was a couple killers in that fucking crew, and we had him at McKinley. Charlie Gizzy was the one I cracked a joke about, that whenever a plane would go by, he'd get up and get a machine gun and shoot the fucking plane. I mean, we had a kid, Richie Colombo, that would fucking stab you to death. There were just a few fucking kids in these grammar schools that were dangerous motherfuckers. I'm telling you that right now. And all these schools had them. I know McKinley had four or five of these dangerous fucking kids that, you know, turned out to be fucking something like... ended up doing 20 years or whatever. The Denny brothers. The Denny brothers were three kids. One of them had a marathon woman, the chick that sucked 24 cocks as a sophomore. That's why they called him marathon woman. Then the other brother was Mike Denny. They called him the devil. He's doing 20 years for killing his wife in North Carolina. I mean, I'm telling you, and I grew up with these fucking guys in the vicinity that I knew them. But especially like the Gizzies. I knew fucking Charlie Gizzy. I used to talk to him and I smoked pot with him and I bought drugs from him a couple times. I knew that was, they were all in that relation with Gunter Brown. If you ask me again, I'll knock you down. That's why I did heroin at 16. Gunter Brown had no problems with giving me a fucking $10 bag of heroin at 16. No problem where I fucking flipped out watching No Quarter. Anyway, a little fucking music. It's Monday morning, a little something for the spirits. Where's Tony Bennett, cocksucker? Well, Tony Bennett. Everything today is black except Tony Bennett. Out of respect, this is, you know, this goes deeper. It's Monday morning, January 21st already, people. I want to be around. Holy shit. Two. Pick up the pieces. What's happening, Lee? Banana Bread Wednesday. I don't know, Lee. I don't know. No more banana bread this week.
All right. What are you? You talked a big game, and now all of a sudden there's no more?
Lee, you were fucked up the other day. You know what I'm saying? You were slow with the fucking national anthem.
I wasn't slow with it.
I didn't listen to it. You were slipping.
Yeah, whoever made that video, I loved it. The only thing is, I wish you had left it in the part where he said turn it on again, and I turned it on. That was, oh my God, that was... That was fucking crazy, man. Because I don't think people understand. Because everyone heard, oh, like, she puts it in the butter. It's... I can't even explain how high I was. I had, like, two small little pieces.
It is crazy. Listen, people, the banana bread is the craziest fucking... one thing I loved about getting high, when I started at that age of 13 with Carlos Perez and Dominic Special and Jimmy Balzano and those guys... We used to play a game. We used to snort a line of THC and go into the city and lose each other. And the goal was to end up on 178th Street and meet each other and then go back on Lincoln Tunnel or something. That morning, we lost each other. We started at 10 to 6, and next thing you know, it was 7:30, and we were fucking higher than fuck. I left there. I was higher than fuck, and I got thrown into taking a walk with my wife and going to lunch with the kid. And
oh, I passed out.
Oh, I was high as fuck when I left here. And it's amazing that the banana bread doesn't have limits on it. Like, everybody else in town has, like, 40 milligrams. Or, like, I just had an iced tea I was going to bring over here for your friends.
An iced tea?
Yeah, 40 milligrams of THC.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
They don't do nothing. I'll tell you, 40 milligrams is what I washed my fucking dick with.
Where were those Auntie Dolores brownies? Do you know? Remember how
Which
big?
Which ones?
The little chocolate, like you cut it. It was small, but you cut it in half.
50.
That fucking got me stoned. What are you talking
about? It was 100 milligrams of little Auntie Dolores.
Yeah, so break it in half, 40 seems pretty good.
It's 50. Ah, that's... You... I gotta put you in that league. You're a major league. I gotta get you up there in 100 milligrams.
I almost missed work. I woke up at 6 and I was like, ugh. But I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. But when you have something like that, I don't feel sore, but it's, I don't know. I feel like kind of like I either had a massage or something.
I told you.
Yeah.
I ain't fucking with nobody. Listen, guys. I ain't one of these guys with the tattoos and the t-shirts and use Hemp and Betty Ross. Listen, I don't give a fuck. I get high to get fucking stoned to the fucking gills. But, you know, a couple of years ago, I had a toothache. All right, 6-5 years ago, I had this little toothache, and it was a root canal, and it didn't take. The holidays, I had it over the holidays. 6 or 7 days, I had this fucking tooth. And I remember getting so high at night, just passing out with the fucking pain, like I'm about to pass out right now. But I would pass out, and I would go, wow, that's amazing that it really would help with my pain.
Yeah.
But the biggest contributor to weed I had was when I first started losing weight. Like, and working out and hitting the bag, bouncing around, your lower back hurts, your knee hurts, your feet hurt.
Speaking of that, how's the strong bone working?
I don't have no fucking pains no more. You know, I'm a real advocate on the fucking strong bone. You know, a lot of people come here and they'll tell you the Alpha Brain, they'll tell you this, that, this. I love Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain is fucking tremendous. I read another review on it. It really does. Alpha Brain gets you so fucking intensified that you just, you know, Alpha Brain, a little breast milk, and some weed, excuse me for the burp. That's that protein burp. What'd you think of that fart before I farted?
Oh, my God.
How good was that fart?
Tell the people. He farted, and
it was so good.
There's probably like 10 feet in between. And I was just getting ready.
Oh.
And I was just standing up, and it's like in the cartoons when it's just yellow smoke and it just hits you.
Oh.
It hit me. I sprayed Febreze, and the Febreze, like, died.
Bounced off with that hemp protein straight up in the morning. With a little banana in it, oh, it got me going this morning. By the time I get home, about 7:30, my asshole will be ready to percolate. That motherfucker just comes out like a soft serve, like a doctor. I got to light a candle and a candle for the candle. You know what I'm saying? That's how I roll, bitches. On a Monday, fucking beautiful morning. Get up, write your goals down for the day. Write your goals down for the... It's amazing when I write my goals down, bro. Last week I put 3 kickboxings, a yoga... A workout, you know, I'll read 3 pages of a book. You know, I've been working with Omar Lopez and I'm writing this fucking book and it's a nightmare because I can't find my troupatois. Mm-hmm. So we've got to narrow down to a paragraph a week, a sentence a week, a sentence a day and a week. And you know, we got Testicle Testaments is up tomorrow for sale. But Testicle Testaments, the show starts again up in February again.
Oh, good.
So I got to give you the dates. We got February, March, and April. But what we're talking about was... when I first started with the workouts, that would hurt the most. And I went to Kushmar at the time. And Kushmar used to sell 2 cookies for $10, these little oatmeal hash cookies.
Okay.
Just these little fucking cookies. And you would eat both of them. And the next day, I would not be sore at all. My knees wouldn't hurt. My feet wouldn't hurt. My you know, my ankles wouldn't hurt. So now what I do is, to be honest with you, you know, the strong bone takes about a week and a half to get going into your system.
Yeah.
So I'm already up to my second thing. And again, it's like when people say to me, what do you think about melatonin? Melatonin is fucking great, but it becomes like everything else. You get used to it.
Yeah.
So now you got to get on something else. So I don't do the melatonin no more. I've just kept it to reefer. I mean, the real reason why I smoke reefer is to fall back to sleep at night.
Yeah.
You know, I went to bed. I went to the ha-ha. I got home at 10:45 last night. Talked to my wife for a little while. Played with the baby. I think I went to bed at 12. You know, I was walking around at 3:45.
I saw that.
I was walking around at 3:45 this morning. I was getting coffee, like nothing. Granted, I'll take a 2-hour nap later, maybe 3 hours.
Yeah.
But that's how I am. If I didn't have to meet you at 6, I would have got up, got some coffee, and I would have rolled the fucking joint and a half of this bazooka debt, and I would have smoked them both, and by 5 o'clock, I'll fall back asleep and get 3 more hours.
Yeah, sleeping pills are dangerous. I used to be on them, and then I can't
fuck around with sleep.
There was a commercial during football, I think. It's a new sleeping pill that you're supposed to take, like, if you wake up in the middle of the night. It's not like... But, like, the amount of bad things that could happen from it... It was, like, an extra 2 minutes to the commercial. And the weed... My friends asked me, because I work nights. I have some friends here. They said, oh, are you going to be able to sleep? I'm like, the weed, I'll be asleep 10 minutes after Joey leaves. And I feel like those sleeping pills are dangerous, man.
All I need is just a push to get me to sleep. Once I'm in there, it's just to shut my mind off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think of the things I have to do when I lay down sometimes. And then you say, fuck it, let me just get up and do them. And then you get up and you realize that you're only doing them at 50%, so you're wasting your time. It's the law of diminishing returns. So that's why. What the fuck, Lee? What's the music you got for these beautiful black people today? What do you got for them today?
Jesus Christ, that's a transition.
What do you got for your Uncle Joey today?
Here's something. Let's see if you like this.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Ooh, I played this morning too. Let me tell you something, I love James. And I should play other James Brown for your people. But this is as deep as it gets. Just, this is where your mind frame should be every fucking morning. Revenge for waking the fuck up. Black and I'm angry. You understand me? That's me, James Brown. I got fucking black veins in my eye. You ever go to those red veins that the black people get in their eye? You ever go to Memphis?
Isn't that from the weed?
No, because they're angry and shit. Those are African bloodlines and shit. What? Oh, shit. Get down with my girlfriend. What? Monday, the 21st of the month. Get up, cocksuckers.
Next month is the month that all the Jews get angry, paying the same amount of rent for a fucking short month.
Oh shit!
I'm already thinking about it.
Luckily, payback. You want to see? Only do it, bad motherfucker. You. And Wednesday, we're coming to you live from
Nerdist
Studios. Yeah. 4 o'clock in California time, 7 o'clock Pacific time. Like I was telling you, and I'm sorry to fucking keep interrupting myself. I get stoned. It goes fucking nowhere, people. This is what you need to do, all right? So I get the strong bone now. And since you get the tolerance to it, I did one thing.
Okay.
I got it in my system. And then I did the other thing to get it fully in my system. Now I'm not getting any pain at all. And I switch it up with the hemp protein. And I'm taking the immune now for the flu that's been going around. I have not gotten the flu. I could feel it. The other day I threw a fucking clammy out that had it all in there. I smoked dope with somebody or something in Irvine. I woke up Friday morning. I spit out this black fucking lung of death flu with Chinese. It had a fucking fortune in there. So I could tell it came from China, this fucking flu. And that's what the fortune said. You're going to get the flu. And it was on my toe. You ever spit on your toe by mistake in the shower? Because in the shower, I brush my teeth even better. Like, I've been doing everything.
You brush your teeth in the shower?
Fuck yeah, right when I get up in the morning. Where are you going to go? That's the second thing I do after I pee. When I'm peeing, I'm putting the shower on.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but I guess it makes sense.
When do you brush your teeth?
After.
When you come out of the shower, now you got to keep walking. That's an extra 3 minutes with that fucking horse breath. Fuck it. You go in the shower. You wash your hair. Then you throw some conditioner on that motherfucker while your hair's conditioning. You shave. You scrub your body with the washcloth, your asshole, your nutsack.
It just feels dirty in there. Like, I don't know if I want my toothbrush in there.
No, your toothbrush is still outside. I just reach my hand out like a Puerto Rican, like Festa. And I fucking brush it. Then I spit it all up. And I get it all in there. And I shave in there. And I get the whole patois. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look at this fucking...
Oh, shit.
Look at this face brut here. You know what I'm saying? I got to look handsome. Then when I come out, you Listerine that motherfucker in case you got any pussy hairs or asshole residue in your mouth.
Because
the toothbrush don't get asshole residue out.
No, it doesn't. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I don't get farted on.
No, bro, we got it all set up for you. You're getting a surprise fart. As a matter of fact, I might even drop one of these protein farts on your face.
How about I fart? No, not you.
Ooh, oh, God. Who shot that duck? A little something for you. On a Monday morning, get your shit together, people. Get up, wash, do something. Anyway, oh my God, this is real hemp right here.
They should put this on the box of the microphone. We'll pick up a fart.
No, yeah, we got that's the next technology. Me to send you the odors that are coming out of straight through your fucking computer screen. You can put YouPorn on and smell the chick's feet and the pussy. It's a tremendous technology. What is it, Lee? What is it? What?
What? What do you mean, what is it?
What? Cocksucker. What? 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 So anyway.
Joey Diaz is like, flip the switch or something.
Nah, what I'm trying to fucking say here is that go in there. I know it's getting cold across the country. It's very cold in Canada. Get today, right now while we're fucking talking, go to onnit.com, order the 3-pack. Get yourself the hemp protein like I'm farting right now. If you're going to get invited to Valentine's party, why not fucking drop one of these hemp protein farts on a motherfucker and rock their world? It's going to smell in this room. I farted in the car 2 days ago, and I sent my wife on a mission. I go, take my car. She called me midway. She's like, I'm driving with all the windows open, and it still smells in here. These hemp protein farts, they just linger. And then get yourself the strong bone if you're a fat fuck, or if you're a little heavy and you want to lose some weight and you want to do some circuit training or something, and get yourself the Shroom Tech Immune. Give it a shot. And then later on, try the Shroom Tech, the other one that they have, because they have the Sport and the Immune. Try them both and see. Sport's to work out. It's got those mushrooms or cyborgs, whatever the fuck they call them. And it makes you run higher and jump fucking quicker. It's like juice sneakers.
Run higher and jump quicker?
Yeah, whatever the fuck it is. Why are you laughing at me, Lee? I'm a little stoned. Lee, what?
Because in about 24 minutes, you rolled 3 joints like it was nothing.
2 joints, cocksucker.
No, it was at least 3.
I still got, I smoked one at the house. You're goddamn right. But you ain't no swami. Let me do some shout outs here today to my people. Leroy Neckbone, happy fucking Martin Luther King Day. You're my favorite fucking black dude. I want to give a shout out to Jasper Williams, a kid I grew up with that showed me the black fucking culture when I first came from Cuba. A shout out to my brother Constantine Rain, Kev D. Foster, you black motherfucker, Alex Anuga, Eric Mitchell, you bad motherfucker. I want to give Gregory O'Connell.
We got a call coming.
Michael, whatever. Answer this motherfucker. Let's do this. ¿Qué pasa, mi hermano?
Oh, you go. Happy Martin Luther King Day.
Who do I have on the fucking line today?
This is the Irish Salivary.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. The great motherfucking Ivan Salivary. How are you, my brother?
Good. Well, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you very much for calling today. For you guys that know, this is one of my... I love this guy with all my heart. He's up in Seattle. Too bad I can't come see him because I got that warrant. The great Ivan Salivary. Give him a round of applause. Say hello to him, Flying Jew. This is Ivan Salivary.
Hey, Ivan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Who's this?
This is the Flying Jew. We work together. He's my little co-host here in the Church of What's Happening Now. What's with the questions? You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
What's going on, Ivan, up there in Seattle? Talk to me.
I don't know. Maybe just doing my thing here. I got done with the tournament this weekend. Not that I did one. I have one. So long weekend. Driving through Seattle with the great weather that we have over here, and dying to get you out here once and for all, man. We gotta squash that fucking wand that you got out here and bring you up here.
Now you're the owner now of Salivary MMA or MMA Salivary. What's the name of the school?
It's Ivan Salivary MMA. It's a school over on South Lake Union here, downtown Seattle.
And what do you teach over there exactly?
Well, my style of MMA is really derived out of a sporting martial arts. So we do boxing, kickboxing, wrestling, and submission wrestling. And the transitions of all those make up our mixed martial arts training.
So you have regular people that go to your school and fighters, correct?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, our meat and potatoes of our gym... lifestyle martial artists or ladies and gentlemen that like the MMA training. So we do regular classes that are a little bit less competitive and not so much sparring and or hardcore training. And then we have the apes, basically, that come in there and just beat the heck out of each other and try to go out and do the circuit out here for cage fighting or competition. Grappling tournaments or anything that's competitive, and that's a whole different animal.
Now you're very fortunate, Ivan, that you did fight in the fucking UFC and some other organizations. Who were some of the people you fought?
Oh my God, man, you're making me think. Shit, I'm old in this. Well, sort of old in this sport, and I came out fighting the UFC. My first guy was Andre Semenov.
Wow.
At a Red Devil. Matt Lindland was another one. Then I had Tony Franklin. Then I fought Joe Diesel Riggs. You know what, Joe? You're making me think. What are you making me do that?
I am making you think. No more. I just want people to realize who the fuck we have on the phone here. You ain't no fucking hobbyist throwing sidekicks for Jesus.
No. I've been at this for a bit, man. I've been at this for a while. Then I fought in K1 and K1 MMA for a bit. I've been doing this for a while.
I love you with all my heart. You always make me laugh. Tell these cocksuckers how we met.
Oh my goodness. We were on the set of The Longest Yard. I was training Bob Sapp. Me and Maurice Smith were training Bob Sapp, and he took us over there, and we were neighboring trailers, and all of a sudden I smell this sweet smell coming out of your trailer, and I'm like, what is that? Is that weed? Oh my God, that's awesome, who's that? And then I was like, and I saw you, and you were, we just started talking, and it was nice, and you're really cool. We were in the middle of the fucking desert in New Mexico, in the middle of nowhere. Right, and you were a breath of fresh air. You were just really cool.
We had a good time on that movie, man. I still think about that hotel, how much we used to laugh.
Yeah. It was cool, man. It was just like so many little, I'm not Hollywood at all. You know that. I don't hang around in California or any like movie sets or anything like that. And it was like, it was a little shocking to see that many celebrities and you know what I mean, how the movie business worked and all that stuff. So it was really, really cool. I lived in a pool of sweat, you know what I mean, for, you know, many, many years, so I don't see that stuff. And so it was cool, you know, and you were, like, so kicked back, and we kind of gravitated to you, you know what I mean, because you were more real, I think, and more able to talk to and hang out with. And it was cool, man. It was really cool. And bounced out. I mean, it was crazy hanging out with him those days, man. Really crazy.
Remember we used to take the vans in the morning and we used to get into arguments. I used to call him Godzilla and shit in Japan. You big fucking Godzilla cocksucker. And
always fucking late, and Maurice always clowning people.
Oh, my God.
Clowning the wrong people, man. You know how he is. Just a loudmouth. He's clowning people. And we're like, don't shut the fuck up, man. You're a nobody here, man. You're chilling. You're not a movie star. You're the trainer of one of the people in the movie. Shut up.
You know, and this is what these people have no idea. And I'm going to break it down for you motherfuckers that are at home watching this or listening. I was in a movie, we were in a movie with Adam Sandler and Chris Rock and all that shit. That's great and dandy. But in the trailer next to me was Ivan Salieri, Maurice Smith, and Bob Sapp. I want you to wrap your fucking heads around that. I want you to wrap your fucking heads if something would have happened on that set. That was just in the trailer next to me. The one on my right was, what was his name? Goldberg. Remember, he used to rip the door off the fucking hinges because it wouldn't lock.
You know what? Remember? That sweetheart. Now, he was so cool, too.
Another fucking cool guy. Across from us, we had Kevin Nash, another monster. And what was the other guy? The bald-headed guy from Texas. The wrestler.
That was Goldberg.
No, that was Goldberg.
Austin. Steve Austin.
That was our neighborhood. That was because we weren't in with the civilized people. We weren't with Nelly. No. And it was Lobo and Nick Turturro. That's where who was in the back. We called it the ghetto. Yeah. That was the back. That was the fucking back. You know, the Sergeant and Chris Rock and Nelly and those guys were in the front.
Those guys in the upper class neighborhood.
Upper class neighborhood. They had us in hell in this fucking thing because there was always drama. I mean, I remember those wrestlers making margaritas. Do you remember that? They had a blender and they would send the guy on the fucking thing for the liquor store. That's how strong this movie was. They would send them to the liquor store to get margarita mix and beers at 10 o'clock in the fucking morning.
And on a movie set, you guys were probably sitting around for 8 or 10 hours a day doing nothing.
Doing nothing. But ask them. Nothing.
It was like little kids, you know what I mean? Just causing havoc and trouble. You know what I mean? It was crazy.
It was really fucking crazy.
The guy that was cross-dressing in that movie?
Yes. You know what? I just seen those guys. I just did a TV show, and two of them from the Longest Yard were there, and I tell you, we were sitting there telling stories and cracking the fuck up. And
oh, my God.
It was just
Who was the actor that was cross-dressing?
Tracy Morgan. Tracy fucking Morgan. Tracy fucking Morgan.
That was hilarious.
Tracy fucking Morgan.
Crazy.
Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? And here I am. I don't even know what to describe this feeling. And like I said, I remember being hot as fucking Bob Sapp couldn't pick me up. There was a scene where he had to pick me up, and he couldn't fucking pick me up. I was so fat. This guy was throwing people around in Pride, and he couldn't fucking pick me up. Amazing.
Crazy. We had a good time. That movie set was really, really cool, Jay. We had a good time. That's why I had. Oh, and my ex-wife was there when we were just dating. That's right. Oh my God.
Yeah, your ex-wife came to visit. Your ex-wife came to visit.
That's right. Over in New Mexico, we had some good training sessions up there too. It was difficult to breathe up there, surprisingly.
Yeah, you know where you took me? We went one day to Alberto Crane School.
That's right, Alberto Crane.
Alberto Crane has the
jiu-jitsu black belt out there.
Let me tell you something about Alberto Crane. He's got a 7 a.m. class that starts in 30 minutes every fucking day. 7 a.m. in Burbank off Cahuenga, and it's fucking packed. Cool. I had a, you know, every morning before I do the podcast, you know, I'm trying to stay in shape and get healthy, so I do a protein shake. But for some reason this morning I put a banana in it and some peanut butter. What's coming out of my ass if the fucking NASA got it, the farts, and they put it in a jar. They could drop this over Iran and Iraq and all this shit. Those motherfuckers wouldn't know what to do. How bad is this fart, Lee? How bad is it?
I'm about to pass out.
It is fucking terrible. And I fought it like it was nothing.
I think he likes it.
He's got no choice. He's the technician. He's the producer. He's got to sit it out like a savage. He's got to be like a police during Hurricane Sandy. He's got to sit there on the beach. But the fucking, I just farted and I caught the heat, that first batch of heat. I almost died over here. Fucking terrible, terrible. Remember, you know who else was pretty interesting?
You never change.
You got to have a good time. You know who else we had a good time with in that movie that blew us away? The Big Indian. You know, the
guy. Oh, the leap. That motherfucker. Oh, my God.
God.
The giant.
Damn, he used to eat like 30 eggs for breakfast. He would eat. Remember, he would eat 30 eggs for breakfast. Do you remember that he would take a box of food home at night?
Yeah.
Like, they would give him, like, fucking a pound of chicken and rice and potatoes, because that was like his late night supper. He was full.
We were in the same hotel when we went back to L.A. We were in the same hotel, the month-long hotel that we stayed at.
Yeah.
With the kitchenette and all that stuff. And that dude, my goodness, like his takeout, like I remember him having takeout and brought in, and it was incredible. It was a bag after bag. His hands were literally huge. They were like bigger than my head, man. It was incredible. He was a real sweetheart of a guy.
He really was. And we started making him perverted. Like, we started talking to him about pussy and eating fucking Hindu ass and shit. And he couldn't believe it. Hindu ass, he was loving it. He was loving white women. Remember, he bought sunglasses. He was done. You know, once you come from India and you're in Hollywood and you see some big fucking pussy, he didn't even want to go back to India. He was done. He took the flute and broke it in half and killed the snake. He said, fuck it. I'm staying in Cali slinging dick, eating eggs. What's in the future, Ivan Salivary? Talk to me.
Well, maybe, you know, obviously, you know, I'm not as fighting as much. I take a fight here and there. I've been, you know, still trying to maintain myself in the fight game. But right now I'm focusing on the gym, focusing on my tournament that I have. I got the tournament called G-Sub-X, submission grappling tournament that's doing very well. You know, I'm focusing on my fighters, especially on the circuit of fights that we have out here. Just, you know, trying to maintain myself in the MMA community. I still talk to Maurice. I still talk to Bob. I still hang out with the old heads, Josh Barnett, Dennis Hallman, all the old heads. You know, we still hang out once in a great while. We hang out Jeff Munson. I see that old fart once in a while. And we hang out and have a good time and still try to maintain and roll around on the mat once in a while. You know what I mean? So... I'm very fortunate. I'll tell you this honestly, Joe. I'm very, very fortunate where I'm at. You know what I mean? I wake up in the morning, I have my cup of coffee, and I get to box and wrestle all day. You know what I mean? And to be able to do that is a blessing. So I'm happy.
And you're also the creator of the crucifix. One of the best moves of all fucking...
I don't know why. I think my grandmother made the crucifix.
All right.
But listen, I got to give... I mean, let me put this out there. I got to give, you know, Joe Rogan a big prop, you know, for even mentioning me in that situation. You know what I mean? I was like... I was just super young, and in my first UFC when I had this move over on Andrei Semenov. And that was a horrific fight for me in the sense that I pummeled this motherfucker. Pummeled him. I beat him in every capacity possible, and I couldn't submit him. I couldn't beat him. And I was like, holy shit, I gotta kill this motherfucker. In the middle of the cage, you know what I mean? I was like, holy crap, this guy is so hard to, you know, beat. And thank God, I got a takedown, and I was able to maneuver my position into that, you know, from side control into my front side crucifix. which I don't know if people know out there, but the front side crucifix is basically the isolation of the head by controlling top position and controlling the far side arm and the near side arm. So the far side arm you control with your arms, and the near side arm you control with the legs. So it isolates the head, and you're able to pummel down on the head without any obstruction. And that's the referee stopped it after like 50 hits, right? A one answered hit 50 hits. So, but the truth of it is like that is a positioning a controlled position, right? So it's not me that invented it, you know what I mean? But I was one of the first to have ever used it and went through it in the UFC. So I have credit from Joe Rogan for it, and he always calls it the salivary, all right? But that move is as ancient as my mother, but I got to give him props and thank him so much because it's helped my career so much from, you know, being able to, you know, be known for that move, you know what I mean? So, I'm very thankful for Joe for that, so.
You're a bad motherfucker, Ivan.
No, I'm not.
And I'm happy that we stayed friends. I'm happy that, you know, you have the boys, and I just had my girl, and we watched each other grow.
Congratulations, Joe, by the way. Congratulations.
Yeah.
How is it not to sleep, change, poopy diapers, and,
everything.
You know, be scared for the rest of your life that you got to take care of a young lady.
Yeah, it's been a piss of the last. Tomorrow's 2 weeks, and it's fucking different. But you know what, man? My wife is happy. And that's the most important fucking thing at the end of the week. She's in another fucking planet. She's in another dimension. She's doing great. And that's the most, like I said, you know, once that's good to see that, when you see it, you know, like I said, I was married before and I had a daughter before and I kind of failed. And now to see it from a different angle, like I realize how fucked up I was when I got married 30 years ago. I was fucked up. Like, I was fucked up because I remember all these stories about mugging hookers and all this shit, but I don't remember about my daughter being born. And being around this one reminds me, and it makes me think of how fucked up I am. But, Ivan, I'm happy you called today, and I'm happy you're a friend. And is there a web page that these cocksuckers could go to and see your school and what you're doing up there?
Absolutely. Ivan Salivary MMA. You just look it up. You Google it, and my gym will pop up. You know, if you're interested in my tournament, it's gsubx.com. If you're interested in coming up, especially all you guys down there, we challenge any California, you know, grappling, submission, jiu-jitsu, anything, you know, guy out there to come up here and try to do something. We dare you. We triple dog dare you.
And you're up there with Alice in Chains and fucking Bruce Lee. You're up there making it happen, and Chris Cornell, and fucking...
Yeah, the home of the real martial artists.
Fuck, yeah.
What are you talking about,
that's
man?
The truth up there.
The original martial artist, man.
That's the fucking truth up there,
yeah, we got here Maurice Smith, Josh Barnett, Dennis Harmon, old schoolers, man. So, yeah.
That's good that you're up there.
We just had a UFC come through here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, December or something.
Ben Henderson, you know, defended his title against Nate Diaz. Very good card.
Did you go?
Yeah, we had a suite. It was awesome.
A suite?
It was really cool. We had a,
Look at fucking Ivan up there, living like a doctor, slinging dick.
Stop.
Jumping up and down. Look at him.
We all chipped in, like, you know what I mean? Like a bunch of guys, you know, and got a suite, and it was really, really cool. But it was a good card, man. Really, really good card.
So what did you think of this week's card?
I didn't see it. I was stuck doing the tournament.
Oh, okay. So, you didn't watch Vitor? Vito kick
no,
fucking...
No, I heard he pummeled him, bro.
Yeah, he went after him. He looked good. Everybody's saying that he might have been juiced up, that he might be pissing hot, but, you know, everybody's so fucking negative, you just can't give a guy a shot. Maybe a guy just worked hard, and he looked that fucking chiseled, you know? Yeah. Gonzaga looked really good, you know? A couple fights were good. The next fight is when? Oh, this week, we have Chicago. We have...
Okay.
Yeah, we have Rampage against Teixeira. And you have Dotson against Mighty Mouse, I think. You got some great fucking fights. Who else? And Clay
Mighty
Guida.
Mighty Mouse, man. He's from here. He's from Seattle.
No shit?
No.
Oh, that's right.
He trains over AMC with Matt Human, all those guys.
How's my man, the Puerto Rican, the boxing guy?
Who?
The guy, the trainer. Yeah, how's he doing?
He's doing really well, man. He's up at the community college. He's, you know what I mean? He works at the community college. He does the physical education program over there, and he's got a boxing program over there at the community college in Seattle Central. So, yeah, he's doing really well. Colin, yeah, he's doing really well, really well.
Does he help you out at the gym at all?
He come down once in a great while, but no, he got his own thing going, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And so I got Mo, you know what I mean? And, like, you know, that's enough, man. I got, oof, that's enough of, you know, striking coach ego, you know what I mean? So, yeah, Maurice. He's out in Vegas right now, but, you know, he's one of my main striking instructors over there.
Who is that? Who's your main guy?
Maurice Smith?
Oh, is he? Is the old man your main striking instructor? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Momo, baby.
All right. I'm going to go on the webpage when I get out of here. I'm going to go take a look. I didn't know Maurice was up there with you full time.
Yeah. I mean, he's not right now. He's in Vegas right now. But, when he's up here, he's my guy. So,
you have a good fucking school over there, man. You really got it going on. I'm proud of you, Ivan.
We have a good crew. We have, you know what I mean, we have some really good coaches. You know, Coach Johnny, you know what I mean, is one of my wrestling coaches. You know, we have a bunch of guys that come through, you know what I mean, that, you know, obviously Josh Barnett comes through once in a great while. Dennis Hallman, Jeff Munson, all those guys. I mean, it's a tight-knit family. It's a small area for what it is, you know what I mean? You know that. Seattle is a small city, big town. But surprisingly, we push out a lot of good guys out of this little area. Ben Henderson is from this area, you know what I mean? DJ, Mighty Mouse is from this area, you know what I mean? So there's champions, current champions from the Northwest, from the Seattle area for that matter.
Hey, man, there ain't nothing to do when it rains. You got to do something inside.
You know, goodness, man.
You know, when it fucking starts raining there.
40 and rainy, baby. 40 and rainy.
Damn, when it starts fucking raining there, you got to stay inside. I got really good at comedy living up there. That's the truth, because that's all you do. You do fucking comedy. You know, there's no time to do nothing else. It's fucking raining out.
Are you depressed in your fucking mind drinking coffee?
No, you know what? The rain didn't get to me. It's really hard to explain to people. It wasn't. But I lived in Colorado the year that it snowed 20-something days in a row.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like living in Seattle. I remember being in Seattle, looking out your window, and it's fucking raining again. And the thing that's good is, if you don't have a job in Seattle, you look out the window, you close the fucking curtain, and you roll over and put on another 3 hours of high-powered fucking sleep.
Yeah. And you wouldn't miss a beat, man.
Nah, ain't nothing going on.
It's really hard when you get these, like, California people coming through to Seattle, and especially when they come in the summertime. Oh my God, it's so fucking gorgeous! It's so gorgeous, green, it's so beautiful. The lakes, the mountains, the water, the sun, right? And then they spend one motherfucking winter here, and they freak the fuck out, man.
Oh no, it's amazing.
They can't take like 2 weeks straight of like rain. It's not even rain; it's like drizzle rain. You know
drizzle
what I mean?
And gray. It's like buffalo, but it spits. It's buffalo is gray even in like fucking July.
Yeah. 2 weeks straight of that shit, and they start freaking the fuck out. You know what I mean? They can't handle it. You know, they start going, oh my God, I got to get back to California. So, yeah. No, but it does, you know what I mean? It is home. You know what I mean? And the reason, you know, that, you know, it's so beautiful, it's because of that fucking rain. You know what I mean? We have the beautiful mountains, the lakes, the ocean, you know what I mean? And
the ocean's fucking cold. I used to live in Alki Beach. Fuck you. Those penguins are down there. And those white people, they love it for it to be Baywatch. They're out there with their bikinis on, trying to make it real fucking warm. But relax, cocksucker. There's a penguin in the water. I used to take that little ship over to Bremerton for the ferry. That's a motherfucker.
The ferry.
And it got stuck one time. I didn't live there. Fucking 19 people fell off. I used to go to the other place. Was it Bremerton? Yeah. Bremerton's where the Navy's at, correct?
Yep.
You know, I tell 1,000 times, that's one of the deepest points in the United States. That's why the submarines are up there, because they could drop right from fucking Bremerton. Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? I used to love Seattle. And I'd be up there with you visiting you, but this warrant holds me back. I feel like a black man. That warrant holds me back in Seattle. I can't go up there and get my fish.
They do not forget. I'm dying to get you up here, man.
Now let's see. We got
to
do it.
I would love for you and William to do that little comedy tour that you guys do. I would love to see that, man. There's a lot of guys that follow you, man. I got my boys that follow you. You know what I mean? Your podcast, and man, dying to get you up. You gotta squash that. You gotta really.
Well, here's what's going on right now. I got this offer to shoot a comedy special in a prison. They're trying to put it together as we speak, and one of the things I have to take care of is warrant. So we're gonna squash it, and I'll be able to come visit my main man, Ivan fucking Boom Boom Salivary and shit. I love you,
that's
Ivan.
Awesome. I love you.
Don't forget about me, man. Thank you very much for calling today and for shouting a hello. And what's the webpage again?
Ivan Salivary MMA, or you can go to my tournament webpage, and that's gsubx.com.
And listen, whether you're a beginner, intermediate, whether you want to beat people up, whether you want to mug people, go down to Ivan Salivary MMA, learn something, get your life together, get in shape. He's a good dog, all right? I love you, Ivan. Don't forget about me, cocksucker.
Love you, JJ. Thank you so much.
Stay black, all right? I'll be calling you next week to say hello. Big hugs to you.
Take care.
You too, brother. What's up, Lee? You're sitting there like somebody took your last fucking yarmulke.
No, I'm good. For anyone in Seattle, it's Ivan Salivary Mixed Martial Arts Studio, and it's 206-652-8381.
And when you go to Seattle, you're going to visit and do some jumping jacks.
When am I going to Seattle?
Soon. We're going to send you on a smuggling mission. I know a guy up there that needs 20 pounds of mushrooms.
Good. Yeah, that sounds...
You need a fucking mule. You're the man. When was the last time you muled the package?
Never.
That's the fucking problem here. You know what
I'm saying? I got nervous the one time I took weed home to Boston. Like, the first year I was here, I brought some edibles home. I was petrified. And then I didn't eat them all in Boston, so I was bringing them back. And TSA had something I'd never seen before. They brought, like, a mobile checking thing to the gate, and they checked like every other person in the line getting onto the plane. They went into your bag, and like I just got lucky, and they picked the guy in front of me.
They wouldn't have found it anyway. They don't even know what they're looking for.
It smells like weed. It's fucking.
Nah, you take it out of the plastic.
You can smell it immediately.
You take it out of the wrapper, and you wrap it in something else, and it says "Love from Mom." You say, "What the fuck? Mom made me an oatmeal cookie. Are you accusing me of something, Mr. TSA man?" You got any music for me?
Well, I have the one I was gonna end with, but we could do this and then.
What music you got for your Uncle Joey? Let's see.
Here we go.
Oh shit! What's this?
Favorite Black Man.
Oh shit! Real song from Martin Luther King. There you go. Oh fuck. Oh shit. Oh shit. You like PE?
I like PE.
Yeah, Public Enemy.
Oh yeah.
Get your shit together, Lee.
I thought you were talking about gym class.
I ain't gonna fucking smoke cut and weed with you no more if you keep acting this way.
If I keep acting
like I was telling Lee when I came in here that, yeah. I always have a good weekend as long as I got you guys. And again, don't forget, Testicle Testaments is going on sale tomorrow, the fourth one, about how I got into comedy and all that shit. But I was telling Lee about that. Every week I write the goals of what I'm gonna do in the workout. I go to kickboxing, you know, Muay Thai. And that's fucking three of those a week kills me because you got to jump rope and all this shit. And then I add the yoga, and then I add this fucking weightlifting thing where I do the Dolce run and I ride the bike for a half hour. You know, there's no reason to be lifting weights no more. I'm big enough. I'm a big fat fuck. I just need to lose some of this and get my cardio back. And it's funny you mentioned it, that the strong bone is helping my joints. I do feel a big fucking difference, you know. And now my wife's got me walking with the baby. So we've been walking to the park and back. And then we stop and go a long way and shit. It's been fucking killing me, man. It's fucking tough.
Oh, yeah, especially.
But it's funny, but when we first moved to the Valley, I stayed at 270 for a long time. And it wasn't the diet and it wasn't the working out. You know what it was? I used to walk into the train. And then I would walk all the way around the neighborhood. And then walk home. I would walk her at 10 to 8, and I wouldn't get home till about 9:15. It was a fucking long, tremendous walk, man. And I love it. I love walking. I've always loved walking. Walking is very good for you. If you have nothing else matters, walking is fucking great. So I had a great week of working out. But sometimes I start with goals, and I got my goals in order now. You know, now that I have the baby, I don't have much time. Like, when I go home now, she's going to want to take a shower. So I got the baby. And then we clean, and then we do it, but then we go for a walk. So I don't see daylight till about 9:30 again.
Okay.
So by 9:30, I either take a nap or I go back to yoga 11:45 today. And then I try to write here and there, and then, you know, I'll try to go to the Ha Ha tonight and do a spot. I know for a fact I got two shows at Flappers Friday night. Saturday I got something. Wednesday I'm shooting something, so I will not be at the Ice House with Joe and those guys. I think I'm doing Thursday night. But I was telling Lee when I walked in, Lee didn't even know that I had to put Skinny Finny to sleep this Friday. My little Skinny Finny, R.I.P., my little Skinny Finny. And I knew on Thursday. I knew Thursday because he didn't eat the ham. He loves fucking the Boar's Head ham, the deluxe sliced thin.
Yeah.
He would go fucking nuts for it. I tell the lady at Ralph, slice this motherfucker thin because my cats like it. And it's funny because when I first met Terry, she had Finny as a kitten. And I was like, ugh. We took him on a date. We and her went on a date to Lake Havasu. I was doing comedy. That's when her car almost blew up.
Oh, Jesus.
And we took Finny with us. It was 100 in the fucking... And Finny was a trooper. And I fell in love with Finny. I'm like, this cat's kind of cute. You know, she was spoiling him at the time. Really spoiling. I'm like, no, he's not going to be a half a fruitcake. So once I moved in there, I took Finny under my wing. Ooh.
Oh, God.
I took Finny under my wing and... I love Finny. I mean, I love Finny. You know, if you really think about it, Finny's like a son to me. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus Christ almighty. This is awful. Awful. I love to go see a doctor in front like this fucking office. If you... Oh, God. If you fart like... Do you smell it? You don't smell it.
I'm clogging my nose.
I got to blow it over there. You're going to love this fucking fart. If I went to a doctor, he'd condemn my asshole right now. He'd just condemn it. He'd dial 911 and they'd shut my asshole down and quarantine it. Oof.
Good Lord.
I love protein powder. I love it. I'm going to drink 3 of these next time I fly.
Please don't.
I'm going to kill everybody in my fucking area. Because whenever somebody farts, whenever you smell a fart, you look around to the fat guy anyway. You ever noticed that?
Yeah, of course.
Whenever somebody farts, you ever smell rotten ass? What do you look at? You're the first person you look at, a fat chick. But it was funny because Friday morning I woke up and she said it to me. She goes, he's drooling from his mouth. And for about a year, he's been acting. You smell it yet?
I mean, I'm not breathing.
For about a year, he's been acting really weird in the sense that he's been meaner. He bit me about 3 months ago.
Really?
He'd always bite me hard, but this time it was malice. He went to rip, and I got really mad at him. And about 2 weeks ago, I got really mad at him because he attacked Sissy. And he's always been cool with Sissy. I mean, him and Sissy have always been cool. They've always played, they fought, but he attacked her a little harder, so I got pissed off at him. But Friday when I woke up, she said, listen, I'm gonna take him to the vet at 2 o'clock. And I played with him, and I could see he was drooling. He didn't want to be bothered. I didn't really say goodbye to him the proper way. It seemed like she put him in a thing, and he was looking at me and the baby, and then he left. And I knew in December he didn't have much left, but I wanted him to hold on to see Mercy. It meant a lot for me, for him to see Mercy. I mean, he's been around since day one.
Yeah.
That cat, one night, I locked that motherfucker out when I was doing blow. And that's all I think about. When you do cocaine, you get paranoid.
Okay.
So one night, something happened. I used to snort coke in the garage and run upstairs and then shit and sit in the bathroom for like an hour and jerk off. And then I do the left, like a little bit left. I'd always save like a little line and do it. And I go out and watch TV or write jokes or whatever the fuck I was doing. Sorry about that. And one night I must have left something in the hallway or something, and he ran out into the hallway. So I'm sitting by the computer. You had never gone to this apartment. This is years ago. This is the one in Hollywood. The office then was off the kitchen. So you had to walk into the kitchen, and then you made a left, and it was a little tiny cubicle. That was my little office, and I had a window, and I could fart in there. It was tremendous. And I'm sitting there coked up to the fucking gills. And I'm hearing, you know when somebody's pushing your door?
Oh, yeah.
Choo-choo. I'm like, oh, my God, it's the cops. And I went. I did the rest of the coke, and I lay in bed with the sleep apnea mask on, just waiting for the cops to kick the door down. And after 3 hours, you know, I was still paranoid in the coke. Nothing happened. I said, what the fuck? It's the cat. And I'll never forget going out there and opening up the door, and he was like... From drooling and from hissing, he was just drenched in sweat. I don't know what the fuck.
Oh, Jesus.
And he just ran and he hissed at me for like 3 days. And I never told my wife what had happened because she killed me. Like, you locked him out, coked up. But I always thought about that. But you've seen how tight that was. I put him in a couple of videos, right?
Skinny. Oh, yeah, he was in the first one.
He was in the first one? Was he? Yeah, he was in a couple of videos.
Yeah, he was a good cat. He had been sick recently, and it was. I asked you when you told me, because the dogs do it a lot, but it seems like when they know something's going on, like they'll wait until it's good for everyone. Like if it had happened 2 weeks ago when your wife was in the hospital, it would have been really bad, so...
She was fucking upset. I mean, she was upset just talking to me. And it was funny, yesterday or the day before, we put him down Friday. And Friday I was okay. And I think Saturday afternoon she went food shopping. And she got ham and Swiss cheese. And I went to make a sandwich. And as I was making the sandwich, I realized he's gone. And he ain't ever fucking coming back, little skinny Finny.
I haven't gone through that yet. I have a dog that's about 10 or 11, and I think about it every day.
Oh, like he's in Boston?
Yeah. And I can't get one now, but I keep thinking, oh, maybe I'll get a dog out here. I don't think, having them die just seems like it's gonna kill me when my dog back home passes away.
Oh, listen, man, with any animal, it's funny, I told a few people, and they got back to me right away. They understood how much I love this cat. But what am I gonna do? I can't get upset about it now. I knew he was coming. I got 14 years out of him. And he was a good friend. He was my son. He was the only real son I ever had. I mean, yeah. If you really think of it, I got him when he was 9 months old. And I had him till recently. He's a boy. And I toughened him up. You know, I toughened him up. I used to play with him really hard and kiss him. And I gave him love. And I fattened him up. And he lost a lot of fucking weight the last year. He went from being 18 pounds to 6.
Whenever, he was six pounds
recently. Whenever Jesus. I would touch his back, I could feel his spine, yeah, and his nerves and shit. And I just wish he's in a better place and he forgives us for putting him down, because he just had to go down. But beside that, on a fucking light, on a light note, it's Martin Luther King Day. God gave us another day to fucking live. And we still got to go out there and do what the fuck we're supposed to do. And grab your ball, sniff your fucking fingers, get the yellow pages, get the want ads, and do what the fuck you got to do today. It's a beautiful day. And we got to go out there and fucking make it happen. Like I said to you motherfuckers before, do me a favor. If you didn't start your little exercise routine or your health and fitness routine or just drinking water, it all starts with just drinking 8 glasses of water a day. And I've been drinking a lot more water because my wife is freezing it now.
Yeah.
So she gets it out of the thing and then she puts it in the freezer. Fucking delicious. With little icicles in it. Delicious. Especially when it's supposed to be 80 fucking degrees here.
Finally, it was freezing for the past 2 weeks. I'm ready for it.
Ah, we deserve it out here. But besides that, it's freezing the rest of the country. Stay warm. If you got the fucking flu, take your medication, stay home, and get it over with. Don't go out early and then it becomes a pneumonia. Take care of your health. Your health is the most important thing. Fuck this and basketball games and all this shit. If you don't have your health, you don't have nothing. This Friday, January 25th, I will be at Flappers in Burbank. Go to flappers.com and get your tickets today. Guess what, Columbus, Ohio? Uncle Joey's coming back, bitches, February 1st and 2nd at the Funny Bone in Columbus, Ohio. And where else am I? I don't fucking know anymore. Don't forget.
That's all. Let me check on JoeyCocoDiaz.net.
Testicle Testament. It's not on there. No, no dates. The new web page is coming. If you have an email, man, I replayed a lot of emails last week. If you have an email or you want to talk to me about something, go to JoeyCocoDiaz.net. The new web page will be up next week, hopefully. The t-shirts, I got to call my man JR and get those. We're going to get some Church of What's Happening t-shirts for you motherfuckers. So you know, and beside that, that's all I got for you guys. I love you always. Remember, Wednesday, the 23rd, we would be doing a podcast at 4 o'clock Pacific. I'll keep you guys more posted. It could be like 4:30, and it's going to go till 6. I don't know if it's going to be an every Wednesday thing. We're doing it live from the Nerdist Studios. We're going to have my man Aubrey Call from on it, and we're also going to have... my other crazy friend, Carl, the guy that just got out of prison, and see what he's been doing with his life the last month since we still spoke to him. And that's it, you bad motherfuckers. A different type of podcast since the other day. We got a little crazy. We will get crazy again for you people. It's Monday. It's Martin Luther King Day, a beautiful day to listen to black music. What do you got for me today, bro?
For the last music?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I got some Michael Jackson for you.
Which one you got?
I had Smooth Criminal.
Where's Thriller? Where's Thriller?
All right.
Where's fucking Thriller? When you're thinking of Michael Jackson, if you're going to put Michael Jackson on, you're going to put Thriller on. Yeah, but I was seeing it
from a different angle.
Fucking Smooth Criminal.
Everyone puts Thriller on.
You've been
on.
Smelling too many of my farts, haven't you? Oh, they're delicious.
I don't know if they're delicious. Fuck it, that's a long song.
Which one is it?
Thriller, it's a 13-minute song. Fucking mad. Yeah, man, that's awesome. Flappers is going to be cool.
Flappers is going to be cool. They got good wings, and they got delicious fucking blue cheese, and I will have a few shirts there that I have at the house. So come down to Flappers Friday night, 8 and 10 o'clock. We're going to rock this motherfucker. You could smoke weed on the street. It's Burbank. Just don't smoke cigarettes. It's a $100 weed, $100 ticket for weed, and a $300 ticket for cigarettes. So you make the call. No, it's free for weed. You don't get a fucking ticket. Where's Thriller? Jesus Christ. I might as well get the fucking national anthem and yell at these people.
It's a 13-minute, it's like a fucking music video. Fucking Jesus Christ.
Well, good. This is why you had to prepare.
I had Smooth Criminal.
Are you where's the reefer? This is why I got to give you this shit again.
Here we go. Let's see where we are in the video.
Get up and wiggle, Funk and Joe. Let me see what you got. Let me see. Do a little. I know you came in that era. Come on, wiggle for Joe. You know one of the moves. Come on, give me a move. Come on.
Oh, shit. What are you doing?
You know the move. You know the fucking move, cocksucker. Wiggle for Joe. Come on. Ooh. Ooh, yeah. Lee Syatt in the house. The church of what's happening now, you beautiful people. Twitter, Facebook, get your shit together. Wake up. It's a beautiful day to be alive. It's Monday. Let's make it happen, bitches. What? See you guys Wednesday, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Direct from the Nerdist Studios, because we love you. Testicle Testaments tomorrow. Wash your balls, wash your ass, get out there. You don't want somebody sucking your dick and they smell that maple syrup. Stay black, the church of what's happening now. Where's Michael Jackson singing? You got like a vision and you won't get up and dance. And remember, Pink Floyd... 36 years ago today, Animals. We'll cover it Wednesday. But